It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. I'm joined by my co-host, Doug Wilder. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Brandon. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. What's up, AJ?
Glad to be here. It's Friday.
TGIF.
Yeah, and we're ending it the right way with Brandon and Doug right here in the studio and some good insights into what's been happening.
Yes. But before we go into the show, this is a... We do a lot of public service. We're going to do a public service announcement. Doug's like, what are you about to do? Marty, our long-term caller and listener, if you're looking to hire someone, a chauffeur, driver, a vacuum cleaner technician, an auto transporter, Marty has a license. So if you're looking for any of those occupations that we just mentioned, please dial 904-377-1611. Once again, area code 904-377-1611. Give Marty a call. He's making himself available. If you need a hand, like a technician on your vacuum cleaners, when he called, I give him a few seconds to do a shameless plug. But we try to support those who support us.
Public service announcement.
Yes. PSA. Okay, on today's show, want to lay some ground rules. When you call into the radio show, let's leave the stereotypes at home. And also, let's try not to call elected officials names. We are trying to bring civility back. So we have to lead by example. So, like I said, we had a caller last week, kind of got into a little debate. But like I said, when you call, if you don't want to get cut off, avoid the stereotypes. All right, topic for today. Doug and I, you got something to say, Doug?
Yeah, I've got a topic that I would like to finish up. We talked a little bit about it last week,
mm-hmm.
and the concept is the wealth gap.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some ideas about what is that wealth gap between the black and the white Americans. And so one of the things I'd like to find out from you is it true that there really is a wealth gap? And if there is a wealth gap, maybe what's the cause of it? And thirdly, what is the solution to it?
Funny that you should ask. I have 10 pages worth of notes. Okay, so you look at the Federal Reserve publishes numbers on Americans based on ethnicity. So if you look at a white family, white American family, average household income is $170,000. You look at a African American family, the median income of an African American household is $16,000. So, and then look at
1-6?
Yeah, 1-6.
16,000.
So you got 170 versus 16,000. And then if you project out, and I think the lady that you spoke to over at, was it the chamber?
She's somebody I knew from Leadership Jacksonville.
Okay, gotcha. So basically, I think she was telling you that, based on the studies, that if changes aren't made, the black median income in the United States in 2050 mm-hmm. will go to zero.
Right.
So that is the case. I took a few notes here, and I just want everybody to think about it this way, because I try to connect the dots. And I'm going to read this, then we can do our interview. The United States is about to face or is facing a rival in the 21st century that will swallow us if we do not get our house in order. It's going to all make sense in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
People who are not working are also not paying taxes. Spending money on prisons and funerals will not increase American power. The Chinese government, no disrespect to the Chinese people, they have 1.4 billion people. That's four times as many people as we have here in the United States. So the reason I say all that, we cannot afford not to invest in all of our people, right? The Chinese have built the Chinese government. You know, you have to be very careful because people take everything you say and try to find something racist in it. The Chinese government has built the largest navy, and in 2050, they are projected to have an economy that's twice the size of the United States economy. So if you piggyback to what we were talking about on, you know, wealth gaps and all this stuff, at the end of the, in my opinion, if you have a group of 50 million people who are not operating at their full capacity, that hurts the United States as a whole. Also, if you have a group of people in this country, I don't care what color they are, if you have a group that due to things that happened, you know, in the past may have retarded that growth, because you have to remember, black folk have been in the United States since the 1500s. I go back further than that because I know everybody says, you know, Elizabeth Warren, all of them said now it's in fad, but we do have Native American in the family. And I also have Caucasian in my family. So, you know, I have black, white, and also Native American roots, right? So, but if you look at the history of this country, all the way up until 1965, the African-American community was locked out. And if you look at, and we talked last week about capitalism, and I believe the answer to this is capitalism, not socialism, because the cure for poverty is wealth. The cure for unemployment is a job. So, but if you look, if you go back to the 1800s when we had real cowboy capitalism, and that's the terminology that they use, I'm not making it up, but when you had cowboy capitalism, when everything was kind of wide open, when you could go out, back in the day when the government had homestead acts, they said, you know what, all the land west of the Mississippi River, go out there, farm, make business, become successful. It was wide open. Do you know today that the federal government sits on 28% of the land in the United States, 640 million acres of land. So if you want to go into farming or, you know, go out and drill for oil, the government is sitting on that land. They're just sitting on it. They're just hoarding it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think you should be hoarding resources when you have 50 million people who have not been able to participate. Because like I said, when America was wide open, the African-American community was in a separate caste system. And if you look back after the 1960s, you know, the Democrats did push civil rights bills. I give them that. And also the Republicans from up north helped as well. But what's the point of you giving me freedom when everything is locked down? And I mean from a regulatory standpoint, if I wanted to go out and start a bank, because one of the number one issues of any group, if you come to this, if you're an American, Native, Black, White, or whatever, if you're not born into a certain network, and let's say you want to go out and start a company, you can't start businesses unless you have credit. Back in the day, J.P. Morgan built. What I'm saying is, if J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller were alive today, they could not do what they did in the 1800s. In modern time, because the economy is so locked down. If you want to go into banking and start a business, you have to have $8 million to start a bank. That's not capitalistic. Mm. If you want to start a nursing home, you know, sounds easy. You got to have $1 million just to apply for the certificate of need. So we talk all day long about pulling yourself up by your boots. You know, the American creed, blah, 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 blah. It all sounds good on Sunday morning, but when you go out and try to apply it, this economy is not open.
Right.
And why is that? I don't know. But what I do know is, like I said, there's a twin thing took place. You had, the rights to vote was given, but at the same time, clink, 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 clink. Or you can vote. You're free. But you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. So, like, on the news media, you know, on the media, you hear everything, you know, you're hearing about white supremacy and all this stuff. That's a cop-out. Racism is there. I'm not going to say racism does not exist. But that's not the number one reason for groups. And because if you look at the United States compared to other countries in the world, we have one of the lowest upward mobilities of any society. And upward mobility means when you start from one, if you're born in one class, what's the likelihood you would die in a higher class? If you look at the United States, we used to be the dynamic economy that you can start, rags to riches. We talk about that all the time. That's not happening so frequently. And if you look at, you may say, well, look at Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg was at Stanford out in California, a state that dumps billions of dollars a year into venture capitalists. We don't have that luxury here in Jacksonville. So, if we want to have a discussion about how we can move America forward, let's look at the real issues. And the real issue is that even Republicans who love to talk about capitalism, they're not capitalists. Because capitalism means free enterprise.
That's right. Yeah, so if you take a look at just in Jacksonville alone, the banking situation here is that we used to have 17 community banks here.
Yep.
But now we only have one, and that is being sold to ViStar. I think Heritage Bank will be sold to ViStar in the next year, this year. And so what that means is that we will have no community banks. That means no small bank that just because you can't have a small bank anymore.
Right. And Doug, do banks really, like think about Barnett Bank. Yeah. That was one of the largest banks. When Barnett Bank was sold to Bank of America, that was the largest bank sale in American history. That bank was started right here in Jacksonville.
Mr. Barnett.
And that guy said that he said that he would loan you a dollar if he could make two. It was just that simple. Honest to God, do banks really lend like that today?
Mm-mm. No. You have to go to the feds, and you can only go to the feds if you're big.
Right. So is that a democracy? I mean, is that free enterprise? Is that what George Washington and the gang?
It's not the capitalism that we had envisioned.
Nope. Yeah. So that's the real issue. Like all of, like I said, the police reform, we can get to all that. Matter of fact, Marty gave me a call. He's a former cop. Mm-hmm. So he's going to come on the show next week. Well, he's going to call him because he's going to be out of town. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it. But these are the real issues. But like I said, but if you had a free media that was really trying to problem solve and not trying to demonize this side and demonize that side, like I said, I watched the news, and you and I just had a conversation off air. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you look, a lot of people are afraid about the Georgia law. Mm-hmm. Do me a favor. Go read the Georgia law. Doug and I had a conversation about it. There are some things that are in that Georgia bill I don't like, but you can't say that's the new Jim Crow.
No, it's not even close.
Right, but if you read the Washington Post, the New York Times, that's what you're going to think.
Right.
And my thing is that the media in this country, this is why we can't really solve issues. Because if I'm out of breath and there's an elephant sitting on my chest, they're talking about the bees buzzing around my ear. No, the elephant is on my chest.
Right.
But we'll take some calls. Stanley, what's up?
What's up? It's all good in the neighborhood.
What's up, my brother?
Yes. I respect your opinion, but I don't agree with your facts. There's a lot of things taking place here now. When you're talking about, I cover the African-American community. The issue with the African-American community at this present time, since the end of post-civil rights, African-American, and I'm a Democrat, Blue Dog Democrat, and I understand all that. But when you're talking locally, it's not about Democrats or Republicans. What we have here, especially when it comes to the African-Americans as far as empowerment, first of all, African-Americans do not need to continue this race with racing with the Caucasian, but when it comes to wealth, African-Americans need to focus on just African-American build wealth for themselves, just like any other nationality, instead of dealing with this game that they play in the media. But we have a problem when it comes to Jacksonville, even though we have consolidation that causes a lot of problems. But you have to deal with what you have right in front of you. And what I mean, charity begins at home, dealing with your own household. African-American leadership is killing African-Americans. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about socially, mentally, and spiritually in this city. Because there's many things, and I'm in city council meetings all the time, there's many things that African-American can do for themselves. Because when it comes to the GDP, every nationality in this country controls a certain part of the GDP. Before civil rights, African-Americans had that in their community. Now, we can talk about other stuff later, but I'm talking about today. Yeah, African-American leadership is what, in Jacksonville, is what's killing the African-American leaders, because there's many things on the books in City Hall, even with private partnerships. In City Hall, there's still opportunities in the African-American community, but the African-American leadership is not bringing the right information to the community and help them organize the information to create opportunities in the community.
Hey, Stanley.
And in closing, I need to briefly, in closing, we don't need to be talking about jobs in the African-American community. We need to be talking about business.
You're fading out. Say that again.
Okay. In business is what you need in the African-American community, not jobs. Jobs will take care of itself. If you take care of businesses first, you need to create mid-sized companies. Forget about them billion-dollar companies. I'm talking about $200-$400 million company, because in the African American community, most of them make less than $100,000.
Hey,
I'm talking about the businesses.
I'm with you, but you started off your dialogue, and like I said, I don't have a disagreement with nothing that you said, but you said my facts were wrong. Which facts did I have wrong?
You have quite a few, because you're giving your opinion and you're giving your facts about the leadership. Hold on, you asked me a question.
Well, yes. Can you get the answer in it before I can move on?
Well, it depends, because you ask a question and I can't answer the way you want me to answer.
Can you answer the question? I got a caller behind
you. When it comes to it's leadership on both sides of the fence that's caused the problem, especially with the Caucasian, because they have done a lot of damage to the African-American community that they are in denial about.
Hey, did I say, question, I must be smoking the good air. Did I assign blame to any side?
I think so.
I thought I went about what you blame.
I'm talking about. I'm just sharing with you.
But you said
I have facts.
I asked you what facts. I'm gonna move on to the next one. Stan, you got my name. You can call me. I'm just trying to figure out. I asked a question. I was trying to figure out which facts I had wrong, and I didn't hear any facts that I had wrong. I gave the numbers. The numbers were 170,000 for one group, 16,000 for another group. So if I'm wrong, please correct me when I'm wrong, but I didn't get that. Call me on the phone. You got my number. Marty, what's up?
Okay, first of all, I want to say, and your caller, I thought he was making some sense, but when he said something about the Caucasians doing a lot of harm to African Americans, I have to disagree. But the thing is, I agree with almost everything that you say, and I want to call your opinion a learned opinion, okay? I want to talk about a few things. If you want to know what's going on, you pick up the World Almanac, and you look in there at life expectancy, per capita income, and you look at also the birth rate. Right now we have about 320 million people in this country. Some of it is births and whatever, and then some of it is not. You look at the country of Norway, where I have relatives. In 50 years, I think they've gained about 500,000 people. Places like Norway and Finland, they're not making babies. These are socialist countries, whatever. And I've been to Norway, and it's the most expensive place I've ever been to in my life, okay? But we have relatives that are making about $60,000 a year as engineers, and they think everything's hunky-dory, and it's not. But I want to say something. One of the ways that we could correct the problem is by, and I'm going to use Jacksonville as an example. The people in Jacksonville, meanwhile, Jacksonville schools have a very bad record of the students they're turning out, but people are worried about and renaming the schools. And I want to give you a shocker, something that's going to be only on your program. The people that are renaming the schools are full of baloney, because I want to say something. You better change the name of Jacksonville, because it was named after Jackson. And you have to go back to the original name. You know what that is, right, Brandon?
Not
the original name of Calford, right? It doesn't sound too pretty. So instead of those people wearing those, they have nothing better to do. Probably they're wearing pink underwear that's too tight. Instead of worrying about renaming the schools, they should be trying to find out what their kids are learning. I saw one day on TV that some, I think they were teenagers, were protesting that the school system should be having more subjects to do with black studies in Jacksonville. Well, when you check the job sites, and I'm kind of old, so there's a lot of stuff that I don't know about. I don't know too many people who are hiring based on what you know about African American history. These kids have been misguided. You want to see a good example? The man who owns the Jaguars, Shad Khan. You can Google him and find out how he started. A real role model. He started out selling auto parts or whatever. He's from Pakistan. I'd love to shake his hand because he's really a role model. He wasn't worried about what the name of the school is, okay? I went to a school in New York. It was called Andrew Jackson High School. I graduated in 64. The education that I got is equal today to what a lot of kids get in college. There's a statistic one day that said a lot of kids coming out of school.
You got to wrap it up, Marty.
College don't know how to read, okay? So we have to get down to the basics and not worry about the semantics of what the name of this. Why don't they just make every school a numbered school and people would be able to say, I graduated from high school number 3. This is what I said, and this is the real deal. And if anybody wants to come over and meet me in the street, I'll give them a signed autograph of what I said. I love your show.
Thank you, Marty.
I think next week we're going to talk the real deal about that accidental situation in Minnesota, which I think stinks.
Yeah, we're going to talk about police reform next week. Thank you, Marty, for calling in.
I love your show. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you, my man. Well, if we get into that name changing thing, that will take up the whole show. So I'm not even going to touch that one. You all know how I feel about those school names. Now, I will say this. I don't think Andrew Jackson's name should be changed. I don't think Reebok should be changed. But like I said, I'm not going to waste the free air talking about. I'm not getting into that today because that's going to kill up our time. We only got an hour. Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, you're hitting it right in the head, man. And I know you talked a couple of weeks ago about you being on some kind of advisory board with the Federal Reserve.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever seen the film America: Freedom to Fascism?
Mm-mm, I haven't seen it. You wrote it down up.
You need to watch the first. It's about an hour and a half documentary, and just why. And it's about how the bankers have taken over. The bankers are running this country now since the Federal Reserve Act of 1912 went into place.
Yep.
And that's what the issue is. The Federal Reserve needs to be audited. It's never been audited since its existence in 1912. The Constitution states nothing in it. Murder in the Constitution is left up to the states. The federal government's not supposed to be involved in murder. Those things are states' rights right there. But our founding fathers did pass a law, and I like you to talk to your Federal Reserve people about this. Mm-hmm. I think it was in 1791 or 1782, I can't remember. But it's called the what's it called? Oh, my God. The Counterfeit Act of 1792. I might have my dates wrong, but the Counterfeit Act of 1700.
We'll check it out. Day,
which states counterfeiters are to be murdered, to be executed. It's the only law the federal government made that says that. And that's what the Federal Reserve has been doing for the last 100 years is counterfeiting our money.
Mm. Well, Chris... Well, Chris, we're about to jump into a commercial break.
Okay.
Hang on, and we'll converse on that, and then we'll reserve the rest of the time for Doug. Okay, thank you.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. A 19-year-old former employee has been identified as the gunman who apparently killed himself after he opened fire at a FedEx facility near the Indianapolis airport last night, killing 8 people and wounding 5 others. Police say they knew the man, having gone to his home last year on a mental health check. As the city of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, prepares for another night of protests over the shooting of a black motorist by a white police officer during a traffic stop, the mayor contends police are overreacting to demonstrators and should scale back their tactics. The city council passed a resolution banning city officers from using tear gas and other tactics against demonstrators. The city's stance has left leaders of other law enforcement agencies helping to control demonstrators confused. Hennepin County Sheriff David Hutchinson sent Elliott a letter Wednesday asking if he still wanted the department's help. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. Earlier, the governor speaking at Central Florida. He chastised federal health officials for sending mixed messages to the public.
It's a problem where you're telling people to get vaccine, and yet people that have been vaccinated for months are wearing 2 masks.
Governor DeSantis also displaying displeasure in how the feds handled the J&J vaccine situation this week. The governor is expected to sign an anti-riot bill. He first proposed the idea after George Floyd's death in Minnesota sparked nationwide protests. Governor DeSantis says it'll stop rioting and looting. The bill passed the state Senate on Thursday. A joint meeting between the Jacksonville City Council and Duval County School Board had to go into recess this morning for police to clear the audience. About 10 people who were participating in a rally outside City Hall in support of changing the names of several public schools came into the council chambers and began yelling. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of a crash on I-10 westbound at the Cecil Commerce Center Parkway. Also, there's an accident on I-95 northbound at the ramp from Old St. Augustine Road. And there's another crash on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at Commonwealth Avenue. Cloudy tonight, expect a low 59. Saturday will start the weekend with showers and thunderstorms, high 75.
Hey, I'm Brand, and as you know, one of the worst things you can say in any business, or in life for that matter, is, but we've never done it that way before. That approach stops us from making decisions that could have been great. We just keep doing the same thing, even if we're not happy with it, even while we're complaining about it, we just keep doing it. What if there's a better way? This is why considering MediShare for your healthcare bills is such a great idea. It works. It's less expensive. It's convenient. It's a better way for so many people to pay for their healthcare. And thinking, but we've never done it that way before, is a great way to miss out on major savings. The typical family saves $500 a month, and you miss out on the huge network of doctors, the free telehealth services, the great customer service, and being a part of something that matters, with more than 400,000 members sharing each other's healthcare bills. So you've never done it this way before? No problem. Just call. You can start saving right now. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, gang, welcome back. I was hoping today was going to be like a chill Friday, because you know something, I don't know about you all, this has been a rough week. This has been a crazy week for the United States. Is it just me? Yes. Like, it was crazy week. We had a shoot. Did somebody get shot on? It was like a shooting on Monday or something. And I told my mother, it's only Monday.
Yeah.
Like, this has been like a crazy week. So I was trying to just come in as end the week on a woosah.
And then we ended up with another one overnight.
Right, right. So, Lord, let everybody take the vaccine so we can end these lockdowns. And I think some of that lockdown stuff is kind of causing people to kind of, I'm just saying.
Probably not stress, helping.
Right.
And stress levels are high.
Something in the milk ain't clean.
Calm down.
Right. Woosa. All right. Chris.
Yes, sir.
You still there? So, Chris,
yes, sir.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to answer some. We're going to answer some of your, we'll respond to some of your points.
Okay.
You are correct. If you look at, like I was saying earlier, if we had the same conditions in the United States as far as openness and freedom, you know, there was once a time when states could charter currency and, you know, it was a more free system. And it wasn't top down like it is today.
Exactly. And that's what Andrew Jackson did, man. That's why I'm so proud to be from Jacksonville, because the Second National Bank in the 1820s were trying to steal all our money. Yep. And he abolished it. And we went through a period of about 80 or 90 years of wealth deflation, not inflation, deflation, wealth accumulation. Anytime inflation does not discriminate, it affects everybody. It affects poor people more than rich people, but everybody gets that. So we got value in our dollar when we were in free banking in the 1800s. Well, the bankers were getting scared because they weren't making any money, so they made all these runs and everything, and the Federal Reserve Act came in. Well, if you had $100 and Andrew Jackson got rid of the Second National Bank, we're the Third National Bank now. The Federal Reserve is technically the Third National Bank. Jefferson got rid of the First National Bank. Jackson got rid of the Second National Bank. Ron Paul almost got rid of the Third National Bank, but the people are so stupid that they don't understand what's going on. I mean, it's not that their fault. It's the education's been dumbed down.
Yeah, that's the thing. People, in if I didn't read a lot, some of the stuff I wouldn't know. And thank you, Chris, for chiming in. But
Thank you,
my man. But if people actually knew history, like Chris is saying, all of this, me against you, black against white, rich against poor. If you really understood what a real open society looked like, if you understood that, like even after slavery. If you look after slavery, we had that period during Reconstruction. You had the per capita rate of black business owners was a little bit less than it is in 2021 during Reconstruction. And then, you know, Reconstruction ended, Jim Crow came back in, and then everything just went to the garbage. But and Chris brought up, you know, Andrew Jackson taking on the banks. One of the reasons that President Trump is out of office and he didn't do himself any favors by, you know, some of the comments, that, you know, he kind of gave the media stuff to use against him. But Andrew Jackson did go after the Second National Bank, which is the equivalent of the Federal Reserve. He shut it down, and they caused a depression. If you look, do your history, it's the panic of 1840 something. And they pulled all the credit out of the economy, to destroy the economy, because Jackson was pushing for free banking. Well, also, if you look at President Trump in 2021, do you think Wall Street liked the fact that this man was given, this guy did $1 trillion in PPP, $1 trillion of zero interest money? So that kind of explains the push to get him out of the chair. But like I said, I like being alive, so certain conversations we're not going to have. Federal Reserve, we do not disavow your power. You do what you do. You know, we're not going there. But Chris, you can say it. They don't know where you live. But Kenny, jump in.
Hey,
Kenny, what's up? What's up?
Mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
You're talking to somebody else. Hey, I enjoy the show. You really got a lot of history knowledge, just like Marty and stuff. It's really good. I wish. It inspires me to want to read more and learn more. My history, some of these things I've heard, you know, in bits and pieces, but you really do have to get in there and read and all that. Is that how you learned a lot of it?
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, I took AP American in high school, and I did it also in middle school. So it facts. Yep.
So you learned it all in high school?
Yep.
Wow. That's really good. Because I would have thought that would have been, some of that would have been college courses.
Yeah, we did the AP college levels in high school.
Right. Okay. Okay. I like a lot of what you're saying. You know, we can't really go back on the cowboy capitalism. But I do agree with you. Some of that land that the federal government is holding, there might be a way to free up some of that land. But let's just say that it never happens, right? Mm-hmm. I do think that if we can get back to normal as far as getting rid of the whole racism premise, you know, that everybody's racist going into it, because that's what's happened. I think there can be a lot of different organizations that would be willing to help people with affordable housing. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things that bothers me about it bothers me about our system, I'll be honest with you, on as far as the number of properties people can own. And, I mean, let's face it, that's one reason the prices are going up so much. And I'm not real big on people from other countries being able to own property in other countries. So that would go for us, too. You know, I mean, if I try to go buy a place in Mexico, you know, they used to say there was a 100-year lease, you know. But now I think they've changed the laws, you know. So I really do think that because of that, you know, that's creating problems with the prices of housing. So, but don't you think there's a way that we can build affordable housing and go ahead and people that are doing well and are qualify. You know, I'm talking about black folks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can stay out of trouble and, you know, maybe I don't think you have to be married, but I mean, maybe if you are definitely married, you know, then you would be in a different class where you're, you know, we know now you have to put very little down. Interest rates are low. It's just the prices are so high. Don't you think that's part of the problem?
Yeah,
right
but
now?
Yeah, but Ken, if you check out something called 3D printing, they can build a house. 3D printing, Google 3D printing of a home. They can pretty much build a home, you know, with the machine. And I'm not trying to put the general contractors out of business, but with this 3D printing, the price of a home is going to be cut in half. You know, with the gains in technology, with a lot of the automation, so. You're going to start to see if you want to do affordable housing on a massive scale, you know, you could, you know, we don't want to disrupt the normal real estate economy, but putting people into apartment complexes, you know, and then you have slumlords for landlords, with the money we're spending on rundown affordable housing, you could spend that same money and. You know, if the government comes up with a way of doing it with the market, where you can kind of take like the Homestead Act, like back in the day, where the United States said, okay, all that land out west, you can have it. Well, let's kind of do the same thing with some of these programs, and create homeowners. And I think with the 3D printing technology, you could do that at half the cost of building a traditional home. So I think if this is the country that put a man on the moon, so if they really want to do, if the United States really wants to address these issues, they can huddle in a room and we saw the COVID vaccine in 8 months.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, as far as when I look at other countries, what they probably do, a lot of them, you know, they're passing down their homes to their relatives and stuff like that. They're probably not, you know, selling them and moving. I mean, so you want to create that environment where, and one reason to do this is because we do have an outrageous national debt, and you know the only way we're going to pay that down is to have people who they themselves are not in debt. I mean, I'm around 60 years old approximately. We just paid off our house. You know, I mean, my house should have been paid off probably when I was, let's just say, around 45.
Kenny, good luck with. I don't think we're ever going to pay that national debt off. I'm just being honest with you.
Well,
I don't think we're never going to pay that off.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just gone crazy the last 10 years.
Yep,
but
But thank you.
You got to put a lid on it.
But thank you, Kenny, man. I appreciate you calling in. I got
to
turn the rest of the
show. Do we know how to get in touch with you on the website?
You know what? Call back to AJ, and he'll give you the number.
Okay, because you're not – I looked on the website.
You know what?
You weren't on there.
Facebook, DM me on Facebook, and we'll talk. I'm on Facebook, Brandon Groover. Look me up on Facebook.
Okay.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you, my man. You do the same. But that national debt is not going to get paid off.
No, it's not.
They need to just what I would do if I was president for a day, just call all the royal leaders over, have a Bretton Woods 3, and like, look, you all know we can't pay that. now, we can either cut the defense budget, the foreign, the overseas protection, or you all can just forgive that debt we owe you. That's what I would do.
All right. We'll see how that works.
Right. Heard it's a change.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Doug, I'll give you the remainder of the show.
Really?
Conduct your interview.
Okay. So, and we're talking about the debt.
Right.
The wealth.
The wealth disparity.
Yes. And, okay. So you're saying that there is a disparity that, and truly the reserve figures that you showed early, the Federal Reserve note,
mm-hmm.
Federal Reserve figures were mm-hmm. backing that up. Now, what is this about the wealth going down to zero by 2052? Okay. What's going on there?
Well, I guess based on like current trajectories and savings rates and all that stuff and inflation, when you factor all those in, the African American net worth is going to go to zero. And this is the way I think about it. And as a country, we shouldn't think about things, black versus white. Like, we are a community. Like, if I move in your neighborhood and my house goes into foreclosure, it's going to pull down your home value.
That's right.
If the north side of Jacksonville had the same economic output as the south side, guess what would happen? Everybody's home value will rise. The poverty on the north side is pulling down the home values on the south side. When we have shootings on the north side, when you watch the news and you hear about a shooting at an Amazon plant in Jacksonville, the CEOs don't ask themselves, was that North Jacksonville or South Jacksonville? No, it's a shooting in the city and it pulls everybody's down. If you look at Duval County, I think Duval County had almost 200 murders in 2020. St. John's County only had 4.
Mm.
And I'm just saying, just to put things into context. So if we could try to figure out a way, and Jacksonville is not going to be able to do it. This is going to, when I talk about these macro issues, these are federal issues. The city doesn't have the money, not even, or the state doesn't have the money to fix these things. Because if you look at the policies that set these issues into motion, we can talk about it, the NAFTA.
But it doesn't seem like it's necessary for it to be even a federal. Well, it doesn't seem like money is what's going to solve it, other than if you make money available to businesses for all people. For instance, the Platinum Plan that you were involved in.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Okay, now what the Platinum Plan was going to do, the Platinum Plan, we negotiated with the previous administration. And what the Platinum Plan was, we told them pretty much, black businesses need access to capital.
Right.
So the Trump administration was going to pump, and CNN didn't report this, but the Trump administration was going to put $50 billion into community banks. And you know, with fractional reserve lending, for every dollar they put into a bank, you get 10 times the amount in the economy. So that was going to equal $500 billion directed towards black businesses businesses that do not have access to capital. So that would have been one way of doing it. Also, the Trump administration was going to also increase infrastructure spending, and they were going to set aside 20% of that spending for black businesses. So with the capital on one side, with the infrastructure investment on the other side, with the government contracts on the other side, the Trump administration projected they could have created about 3 million jobs. Now, if you look at what the Biden administration is proposing, if they go forward with the infrastructure bill, a real infrastructure bill, not this hokey pokey social infrastructure, you know, real infrastructure, building bridges and highways. For every $1 billion you spend on infrastructure, you get 25,000 jobs in the real economy. So if we actually did if we really just rebuilt the country, which we need to do anyway because the roads are falling, we have water issues, water purity issues. If we did a real jobs, focus on like real jobs, not the hokey pokey stuff, you could create jobs. If you create high paying jobs, that poverty rate would decline. And also, you have to do it federally because as far as access to credit, these banks are national. Florida can't regulate BOA, BB&T. You have to do it at a federal level. So, what I'm saying is unleash the economy, remove some of the regulation, and allow people to go out here and have a shot at it. Because mm-hmm. if you don't take any risk, you don't have a chance of a reward.
Has the Platinum Plan gone away now?
What the Democrats should have done, if Trump was offering $1.2 trillion to African Americans, then the black community that voted for Joe Biden should have insisted on $1.3 trillion. Mm-hmm. But when Ice Cube went and met, we did a segment on the show, when Ice Cube went and met with the Trump administration, you know, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo attacked Ice Cube for even meeting with the president. So it never even got the conversation never got to a point where the Democrats had to do a counter.
I see.
So it's a dead issue now.
Right. So is it not going to happen, or is
no? It's not going to. It's a dead issue. Like unless President Joe Biden is listening to this show, you know, the Congress, the government does what you make it do. Like I believe it was Dr. King talking to Lyndon Johnson. He said, "I agree with all this stuff you're saying on civil rights. Go out there and make me do it." So at the end of the day, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If nobody's calling for, you know, for economic development, you know, and trying to really put forward an agenda to deal with these issues, you're not going to get anything out of Washington. Because right now, all we're talking about is division, 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 division. Where are the solutions? I don't mind people highlighting problems, but I don't need you to tell me what my problems are. I live my life every day. So, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just saying in general. Like, I don't, like all these people who, you know, who get up in the morning and tell us how bad the world is, we know, we watch the news. What are the solutions? And if you're not talking about solutions, what are we talking for?
That's right.
And what I try to do on this show every week, I try to find the issues that affect the country, whether it's black issues or white issues, And I try to bring solutions. I'm not into highlighting problems because they get paid to do that. Those people who go around here and show up, that's a hustle. I don't do that. What we do on this show for the little hour that we have, we try to identify the problems of the country and we try to figure out if people want to move past these problems, hey, that's the off ramp. And that's what we try to do on here.
Mm-hmm. I like it. So if we're looking at how then do you take individuals who are in the African American community mm-hmm. and start to build their businesses?
Well, what I do on an individual basis, I have people that DM me all the time and say, "Hey, I got a business idea," and right. you try to help them out. You know this. I try, you know, kind of what you do as well. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of. I always say that the answer to your problem is in the person's brain who you may not expect. So when people have, you know, issues and hurdles as far as entrepreneurship, you know, I try to point them in to the right direction. Even with the PPP program, you know, all the funds, the $1 trillion that was made available, the EIDL program, you know, if there are any government programs or any lending programs or anything that can help move people forward, we have to do our best to kind of make put that information out there. And if people don't take advantage of it, it's on them. It's not on us.
Right. And you were able to create wealth out of nothing.
Yep.
And you did it without actually the government help.
Right. Right.
Actually, you had more government hindrance.
Yeah. Oh man, that's another story.
mm-hmm. But you were able to talk to people and get people to help you and bam, you just took off.
Yeah, but the thing was, like, my mother worked in the medical field. So a lot of high net worth doctors, you know, they were kind of, we were rubbing shoulders with them.
Right.
So it also depends on where you live and, you know, and who you know. Like, every person doesn't have the same network that I had in order to, you know, to pull myself up. So that's why I'm saying on the air that if we had some type of, if we went back to the original way America was operated, well, if you had a good idea, you know, you could get bank funding. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, because think about it, it's crazy that I can get a car loan, I can get a credit card, but it's like pulling teeth to get a bank loan.
Right. That's right.
Debt is debt.
So,
and the money's printed anyway, so it's not it's not like you're, like, what's the harm? If the government printed $1 billion and this fake money, it's not even, like, back in the day, it was like gold and silver. You had real hard currency. They're printing money anyway. So let's say, you know, I printed $1 billion and say, okay, this is credit. What goes wrong? The money's fake anyway.
Okay.
So on a small scale.
Uh-huh. So if and we talked it earlier, the community banks are gone or just about gone.
If the community bank said, okay, we're going to make $1 billion available, $1 billion out of thin air that doesn't exist anyway. Because all this money, when you go get a car loan, when they print that check, that's not money out the bank. That's printed money on that check. Mm-hmm. So we have a fiat currency. It's fake money. They're printing it on Excel spreadsheet. So if Community First said, okay, if the government's, like they're doing with the PPP, it's happening right now. If Community First said, okay, we have $1 billion of capital available for business owners who want to start businesses, I don't see the harm in it. It's you're not wagering real money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also said another thing that I thought was interesting is that you didn't go through a bank, but you had contact.
I had contact.
And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that we can do, that you can do, and that mm-hmm. and that we can do is start connecting people.
Right, right.
People have good ideas.
Right.
Let's connect them with people who are able to fund that.
Right, right.
And maybe through the private world, we might be able to get these businesses up and running.
Right, I agree. But the problem with the private, and I agree with the private sector, but like if you were in California and with $200 billion in venture capital funds available, you don't have that kind of money in the city. I mean, you have the money, but the banks aren't lending money to upstarts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cash 22. But great discussion, Doug.
I love it.
Great discussion.
Wait.
Great discussion. So next week we'll talk about police reform, and we're going to be fair to the police. We're going to talk about real, because at the end of the day, you need the people and you need the police. So if the people feel the police, that's a problem. And if police don't want the police, then that's a problem. So that split the baby in half.
We're in kind of a funny place in history right now.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
Because if you don't have the police, who has the guns?
Yep.
The people that aren't supposed to have them.
Yep.
And I think they're called criminals.
Yep.
That's what we call them.
Yep. Mm,
so, man.
So next week we're going to try to bob and weave and try to bring the police and the community back together again.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing, because that's better than chaos.
Yep.
And we're going to be back, hopefully. We'll have the J&J vaccine. Maybe
right.
He'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll do the J&J. Hopefully the vaccine is back in rotation.